Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Search Special.
Intensifying here on Sports Radio 610. You had the Texans request permission to interview Brandon Staley. You had Urban Meyer hired as the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you have Arthur Smith getting multiple interviews with multiple teams. Sean Pendergast, Landry Locker with you here on Sports Radio 610. Sean?
It's heating up, baby. It's heating up. I like it. I like it a lot. I like Brandon Staley a lot. I love the stuff you guys were talking about with Brandon Staley. I went and read that article that you put out there about Brandon Staley. I feel like every time I read one of these new articles about one of the new candidates, I fall in love with somebody all over again. You know what I mean? Like which I feel good about. I feel good that I'm reading articles about guys the Texans are actually requesting to talk to, as opposed to being the kid outside the candy store going, "Boy, that candy looks good. Why is my dad not calling Robert Saleh right now to go get Robert Saleh?" And so I'm glad Brandon Staley, who the Texans have requested an interview with, I like his vibe, man. I like the things I'm hearing. I love if you hear Sean McVay of the defense, I'm down with some Brandon Staley right now.
Yeah, when you hear Sean McVay of the defense, that automatically raises the eyebrows a little bit. I know ESPN mentioned that. I'm a fan of Brandon Staley and what he brings to the table.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you said that. I'm having a hard time hearing Landry. Are you on?
Yeah.
I hear you a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. We're good to go now.
Okay. Good. There we go. Yeah, I do too. And the thing about Brandon Staley that makes me optimistic that something might happen with that is multiple connections. The John Carroll connection, for one. He was a successful coordinator at John Carroll, which is the alma mater of Nick Caserio. So that's number one. So that helps. And number two, Jalen Ramsey is a huge, huge Brandon Staley fan. Jalen Ramsey, the star cornerback for the Rams. Staley, the DC for the Rams. Jalen Ramsey's agent is David Mulligetta, who is also Deshaun Watson's agent. So Deshaun Watson, we hope, is going to be pretty involved in this head coaching search. So it would stand to reason that there's some good things trickling downhill to Deshaun Watson possibly about Brandon Staley. But we're digging in on Brandon Staley because he's the latest one that the Texans have requested an interview with. What's the scorecard look like right now for the Texans? They've interviewed Jim Caldwell. They've interviewed Marvin Lewis. They've interviewed Joe Brady. And they've requested Brandon Staley. Am I missing anybody else on the request list? And Eric Bieniemy they've requested as well.
Eberflus said no thank you.
Right.
And then you had Arthur Smith, who I don't know what happened to that. I'm a fan of the Staley situation, though. I think Staley would be a good coach for Deshaun Watson. I think he would be a good coach for what this Texans roster needs. And we'll get more into that as the show goes on. But the biggest news out of the AFC South, and I think this could over time be the most impactful news that happens here in the NFL is here in the AFC South is Urban Meyer. I think Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville. If you want to talk about a home run hire, and home runs don't always go over the fence over the course of time, but Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville is interesting to me. And quite frankly, I think that there's no chance that Urban Meyer doesn't succeed in Jacksonville. So I think when it comes to those types of moves, I think that is the most impactful thing that happened today.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, maybe in the NFL today, that's the biggest news is Urban Meyer. Look, Urban Meyer was my choice that I wanted for Texans head coach. When we were doing all those different exercises, when we were putting in our votes for the top five guys that we wanted for Texans head coach, Urban Meyer was my choice. He was my first place vote to be Texans head coach. And so now, by definition, I almost have to feel like the Jags hit a home run, as you just said, and almost by definition, since I wanted him for the Texans so badly, that the Jags in the division got him, I should now all of a sudden become increasingly nervous about the Jags. I was already nervous about the Jags with all the draft capital that they had. They're going to be drafting Trevor Lawrence, all that good stuff. But Urban Meyer, this is what I've always thought about Urban Meyer, Landry, is that there are just certain coaches that are a cut above everybody else, and no matter where they go, they're going to win. If they go somewhere in college, if they coach, you throw them on a high school campus, that high school team's going to be undefeated that year. And then I think in the NFL, I just feel like Urban Meyer, as long as he has the quarterback, which is the big key in the NFL, that the dude is just going to be successful. I feel like he's got that CEO vibe. I feel like he's run essentially what's been the closest thing in college that you would have to an NFL program at Ohio State. You know, Ohio State, Alabama, a few other programs have sort of that feel. And I think he's going to be a problem for the Texans. I don't know if he's going to win a Super Bowl in Jacksonville or whatever, but the AFC South just got harder and it just got more interesting. Think of our little AFC South from like pre-Deshaun Watson days, how uninteresting and boring this division is. This division's popping now, man. You got two playoff teams. You got the Texans, which are like a soap opera on wheels. And now you've got Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence coming to the division. The AFC South is all of a sudden kind of fun. I just wish we weren't the soap opera. I wish we were the good football team.
I looked at the Jacksonville situation, and I look at it almost like this is a misleading. When you factor in all the assets they're going to have, all the ability they're going to have to improve their roster, the fact that they're getting the franchise quarterback in a different way, I almost compare this to when the Texans had the number one pick, and Bill O'Brien liked to mention every 5 minutes that they were 2-14, and then they were 9-7 his first year here. Well, you had some pretty good talent on this roster. You had Jonathan Joseph, you had Kareem Jackson, you had Brian Cushing, you had J.J. Watt, you had Andre Johnson, you had Arian Foster, you had Dwayne Brown, you had Brandon Brooks. You had a pretty talented team. Your team was more talented than 2-14.
That is a talented team.
And you went 9-7 the next year. I don't know if Jacksonville's going to win 9 games next year, but it wouldn't shock me.
No.
It really wouldn't shock me, because I think if you look at their roster right now, and you look at the young talent they have along with the assets they're going to have and the salary cap space they have, it wouldn't shock me if we're talking about Jacksonville as a team that's competing for a wild card spot the final few weeks of the season. It wouldn't shock me at all. If Trevor Lawrence, let's say Trevor Lawrence is a notch below Justin Herbert, because I think that's kind of, let's just say he's a notch below Justin Herbert.
He's rookie of the year this year.
If you look at all the picks they're going to be able to make, all the draft selections, their offensive line isn't bad. They've got really, really good young receivers. They had the best rookie running back in the NFL this year who was undrafted in Robinson. They got some talent on defense. It would not shock me if Jacksonville has a 6-win, 7-win improvement this season with Urban Meyer.
I think Urban Meyer is going to have major say in what that roster looks like, too, overall. And I know people are saying, well, he's the head coach, of course. I don't mean just who makes the 53. I mean, like, how they deploy the draft equity and stuff. You know why? Because they haven't picked a general manager yet. It's almost like, Landry, when these teams have a head coach in a general manager position open. Look, we know that from here right now with the Texans. They just filled their general manager position this week. Nick Caserio's got to feel in some ways a little more empowered than whoever they hire as the head coach, because he got here first, right? He's having say in the hire of the head coach. I would imagine Urban Meyer is going to have at least some input into A, the general manager, and B, I don't know that he takes this job without asking the questions about how much input he's going to have on how they use all those draft picks. You know what I mean? Like, and he's probably getting paid a salary where he should have input as to what they do with some of that draft stuff. So I think that's an interesting layer, too, to Jacksonville. Look, it's interesting already that it's Urban Meyer that's there, and this is his first gig in the NFL. That unto itself is really, really interesting. But the fact that they haven't hired a general manager yet does make me wonder, boy, is he going to have supreme power there in Jacksonville to at least have input on some of, you know, is it going to be the dynamic like I think the Texans are creating here, where the GM handles personnel, coach handles the roster, or is it going to be like it is in a place like Seattle, where John Schneider essentially kind of does all the scouting and then Pete Carroll's really got control over everything, the final decision on things?
It'll be interesting to see how Urban does lay that out. 2463 on the text line. You can text into the show. Landry Locker, Sean Pendergast here on the search. 713-572-4610. Pump the brakes on Lawrence. Meyer has ties to
Ohio State. Look, Lawrence is the first pick in the draft. Let's just make that very, very clear. Lawrence is the first pick in the draft, and Fields wasn't recruited by Urban Meyer. He actually committed to Georgia, and he went and played with Ryan Day. So even if you are trying to reach on those connections, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is going to be facing the Texans twice a year. That's a done deal.
Yeah, yeah. And here's another text message. Hey, Sean, Urban Meyer is not as good a college coach as Nick Saban is, and Nick Saban went to the NFL and was not great at all. Why would Urban Meyer be great in the NFL? Asking for a friend. I love asking for a friend. That little wisecrack at the end. Yeah, no, I know. You want me to answer the question. Here's why. First of all, I caveated it with provided he has the quarterback. Look, if you don't have the quarterback, then Urban Meyer, probably his ceiling would be 9-7 or something like that.
Nick Saban chose Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees because they didn't trust Drew Brees' shoulder. If they go with Brees instead of Culpepper, we might still be talking about Nick Saban in the NFL.
I'll say this, too, about Nick Saban, is that Nick Saban that went to the NFL with the Dolphins is not the same Nick Saban that's evolved into just this supreme killer at Alabama. He won a national championship at LSU. He was a good coach. That's why he got a job in the NFL. But the Nick Saban we've seen at Alabama is something that's evolved into a machine over time. He wasn't that. He was a really good coach in college that capitalized on the opportunity that he got to go to the Dolphins. But I think Urban Meyer, man, just Urban Meyer went like 79-8 at Ohio State. Up to that point that Nick Saban had gotten into the NFL, he had never had a run like Urban Meyer has had both at Florida and at Ohio State.
Put Utah in there if you want.
In Utah, and Bowling Green. I mean, his very first job. Like, Urban Meyer has never been unsuccessful. He's never been not supremely successful anywhere that he's been. I'll just put it simply. Urban Meyer in 2020, greater than Nick Saban back in 2004. So I get it. Nick Saban's really good now. No, he is. But you got to have the quarterback. And I think Urban Meyer going to the NFL now is a better coach than Nick Saban was going into the NFL back in 2004, 2005.
So there's two things that we just mentioned that have happened in the AFC South that impact the Houston Texans. It's a search special with Landry Locker and Sean Pendergast. You have Brandon Staley being requested by the Texans. We're both on board with that. Urban Meyer going to the Jags. We both think that that is bad news for the Texans because of all the assets and the type of coach that he's proven himself. The third thing that I think has happened that I think could be the most impactful maybe in the next 1 or 2 year window is Arthur Smith looking like he's heading out of Tennessee. Because Ryan Tannehill's resurrection under Arthur Smith on offense has been something that has really impacted this division more than anything else. They've gone to the AFC title with Arthur Smith and Tannehill as a combo, and they won the division this season, and we know what Derrick Henry's been doing. If Arthur Smith leaves Tennessee, I don't know who the next guy in line is, but it's hard to imagine that he's going to do as good as Arthur Smith has done with Ryan Tannehill and the resurrection job that he's done. So I think long-term, the next 5 years, the Urban Meyer situation, I think that could be the thing that we look back on and say, you know, on January 14th, 2021, that was the biggest thing that happened. But I think if we're talking about this a year from now, I think Arthur Smith leaving Tennessee would be very impactful. The Texans situation is still to be determined, but I don't think you can minimize Arthur Smith potentially even Tennessee, especially when you factor in how bad their defense is.
That's a really good point about Arthur Smith, Landry. I hadn't thought about it. I've been thinking about Arthur Smith just from the perspective of the Texans getting Arthur Smith. I hadn't thought about Arthur Smith from the perspective of getting him the hell out of the division, and I think he's going to get a job. Look, if we were ranking coaches in the order of we just forget about what job we think they're going to get, just will they get a job somewhere, one of these coordinators? Arthur Smith is getting Bieniemy Sala-level buzz around the league. I feel really good that Arthur Smith is going to wind up with an offer to be a head coach somewhere. And there's a couple teams that need quarterback rehabilitation jobs on the level of Tannehill's rehabilitation, specifically Darnold in New York, if they want to stick with him, and Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. I think Arthur Smith is a really sellable solution to either of those fan bases.
I think it's very, very interesting. Three big things going on. The search continues. Maybe we'll wake up in the morning and we'll hear even more news. Tune in to Payne and Pendergast for that. Landry Locker, Sean Pendergast with you here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, a lot of people want Jack to hit the road. I don't think it's going to happen, but an NFL Hall of Fame insider says it will, and it's not John McClain. We'll tell you who it is next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Search Special.
Landry Locker, Sean Pendergast with you. The Search continues here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Brandon Staley
getting an interview with the Houston Texans. Urban Meyer, the new man in Jacksonville. Arthur Smith could be on his way out in Tennessee. Three big things happened today. We'll give you the latest as things go on right here on Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610. You want to get in. Let's just go to the phone lines. Let's go to Jack. Jack, you're on the search with Landry and Sean. Go ahead.
Hey, Jack Easterby here. I would like to clear my name relative to the slander y'all been sending my way. So what happened was I went to Cal. I said, Cal, relative to the Bible, Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what you hope for and convinced of the things you cannot see. You might not see talent on this team, Cal. You might not see.
All right, that was a bad Saturday Night Live.
Okay, I'm glad hung up. I think that person tried to call our show a couple times this morning, and I saw.
That's not a good impression.
Yeah, I saw like Easterby with air quotes, like wants to clear his name. Yeah. I saw it on the phone board. I'm like, you know what? Unless I've got a professional comedian screening these calls, no disrespect to Ben Gary, and no disrespect to you, Rob.
I do a better Easterby impression than that. There's nothing worse than a bad impression, by the way.
Yeah.
There are some bad things that you can get through, but a bad impression, not good. Appreciate the call, though. Let's go to Jason. Jason, you're on the search with Landry and Sean. Do not do a bad impression or you will get smacked off the air, Jason. Go ahead.
No, I wouldn't be doing something like that, guys. Good news today. Kind of listening to the radio, listening to, like you said, on the tease before about Peter King and all that. But at this point, guys, I'm not surprised with anything that happened. If they kept Easterby, if they didn't, I mean, seeing James Harden leave like that, just everything else that's happened around town, and even that we're talking about Deshaun Watson leaving is crazy. But, Sean, you'll appreciate this. I will do an impression. All I want to hear is Vince McMahon go in there and say, James, Jack, Harold, Easterby the fourth, you're fired.
Yeah, you're fired. I don't think it happens. I don't think Jack Easterby's going anywhere.
Okay, well, there's a certain Hall of Fame writer that disagrees with you.
There is. He was on WEEI this morning. Peter King had this to say about, I would say, the most hated man in Houston. Is that fair for me to say?
You know what? I was talking to Show about this on the way out. I don't know that I can remember a Texans employee who has been more despised than Jack Easterby, and that includes Bill O'Brien. Like, this is crazy level vitriol towards somebody who's not really like a front-facing employee who does regular media and things. It's remarkable.
This was Peter King on WEEI earlier this morning talking about the possibility of Jack Easterby being fired.
I think they will get rid of him. I think it was really an interesting sign. I don't even know how many people know this, but that Jack Easterby basically, was told not to talk to Sports Illustrated when that damning report came out. It reminded me of Scott Pioli in Kansas City when he was being really tarnished by Todd Haley, the former head coach there. You know, they didn't want him to talk. You know, what happens next? Not long after that, Pioli was gone. I think it's a matter of time before Jack Easterby is gone. As for why it hasn't happened yet, I don't know the answer.
That's interesting. So why – I don't get the dots he's connecting that they told Jack Easterby not to talk to Sports Illustrated for that piece. I don't get how that connects to – so therefore he's going to get fired. I didn't understand that part.
I don't understand that at all. And furthermore, if they didn't want him to talk to Sports Illustrated, why would they let him negotiate Nick Caserio's contract? Which is what I've heard happened.
Yeah.
And I think I've gotten a lot of confirmation on that. Why would they let him negotiate Nick Caserio's contract?
I think when you moved your mic, I think, yeah. No, seriously, when you moved your mic. All right, yeah. So, Nick Caserio's contract, Jack Easterby. I don't know. I'm with you, Landry. I just don't know that I don't know what we've seen out of the Texans that it's gotten this far that all of a sudden they would move on it this week. It's almost like Jack Easterby. I compared it to running a gauntlet. You know, and Jack Easterby, he's beaten Brian Gain. He's beaten Bill O'Brien. I think he's going to wait out and beat Andre Johnson, and I don't know who's next for him. I guess J.J. Watt or Deshaun Watson is next, but he seems to win every battle that he gets into.
I've convinced myself he's the owner of the Texans.
He's the face of the franchise right now, it feels like. He's the most talked about, other than Deshaun Watson, he's the most talked about Houston Texans employee. That's not good.
But I think for the sake of sanity, though, you know, a lot of times when you get mad at an owner and they say you can't fire the owner, That's how I'm looking at Jack Easterby. He is the owner right now. Yeah. And when he's negotiating contracts like Nick Caserio's, like Deshaun Watson's and stuff, he establishes himself as really the man that Cal McNair can trust.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, it's going to reach I say it's going to reach a boiling point. The Andre Johnson thing was interesting because in that moment, everybody felt like finally somebody really, really important to the fan base said it. And then kind of like how things happen in 2020 or now we're in 2021, our attention spans are really, really short and really, really bad. And then by the time we wake up on Wednesday, it's sort of kind of out of mind and it's kind of disappeared, you know, by the time we wake up on Thursday, I guess, 2 days later, you know, you wait it out. And eventually it just, you know, eventually, I think they feel eventually it'll go away, you know.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's go to Kelly. Kelly, you're on the search with Landry and Sean. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys. Look, the one thing I think Forrest Gump, i.e. Cal McNair, has just been worn out by this whole situation. And I think that he didn't want to go through this interview process anymore about general manager. And he turned to one general manager who he thought could, quote, be the de facto owner of the team. So he could go back and slink back into his mom's basement and do what he does and let Caserio do his thing, run the team, make all the decisions. Cal don't have to talk to nobody. He don't have to make the decisions because he trusts this guy, you know, totally. And I think that's why he chose him. And now he's going to back off. He's going to let Nick do his thing. And he's going to have faith in that, including coach hiring, including, you know, patching up the relationship with Deshaun and everything else.
Well, I would be fine with that. I think if they just stay out of the way and let Nick Caserio handle the football stuff, I'm fine with it. I think the one person I feel most sorry for in this situation is Nick Caserio, because I think Nick Caserio, I don't think there are very many GMs that you can lay out that are going to get hired with all the openings that have the resume that Nick Caserio has. And that's the one thing that I think is unfortunate. But I do think if they just let Nick Caserio handle the football stuff, I think you could be okay as long as he gets Deshaun Watson on board. The messed up thing about it, and it goes even further into why I feel sorry for Caserio, he's not the one that pissed Deshaun Watson off in the first place.
No, but I think, look, I think Nick Caserio had to kind of know which way the wind was blowing when he took this job. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he thought he was just coming into some clean, happy home and everything, you know, other than not having a first and second round pick and other than being over the cap to come in. I would be shocked if he thought those were the only problems. And if he didn't do his due diligence and find out that there was more to it than that, I don't necessarily feel sorry for him. Look, the guy's one of the top three highest paid GMs in football. He's getting paid a pretty good wage to solve problems like this. When you take an open GM job, by definition, Landry, it's not perfect. You know what I mean? The good teams already have GMs. So I don't feel bad for him. Now, I will feel bad for him if the environment continues to where, you know, clearly Jack Easterby is a divisive force behind the scenes there. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are feeling that over there right now, including the locker room. If it becomes something that Nick Caserio can't resolve and it makes it harder for him to do his job, i.e. attract free agents, keep guys here who he wants to keep, you know, basically construct a championship roster. And if it keeps poisoning his relationship with the most important employee in the building, Deshaun Watson, and it doesn't get resolved, I'll feel worse for him at that point. But I think he's got to know coming into this that there were going to be issues other than just cap and draft equity that had to be worked around. He read the SI article. You know what I mean? Like I don't think he was completely blind to what was going on.
I think that another thing that I think is a misperception when we hear all these stories, Landry Locker, Sean Pendergast here on The Search, Sports Radio 610, is when a story comes out that Deshaun's ticked off about the communication, it's not necessarily an indictment on Jack Easterby, at least in that building. I think it's actually an opportunity for Jack Easterby to increase his power and increase his trust in Cal even more, because Cal's the one that screwed that up. Cal's the one who had a meeting with Deshaun and then didn't tell him what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So Easterby then can hit up Deshaun's agents, and become the line of communication between them.
Yeah.
I think the more chaos there is, I think we look at this as, oh, that's a knock on Easterby. I actually think the more stories that come out, the more opportunity Easterby has to win Cal's trust even more than he already has it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. You know what I mean? What you're saying is there's more opportunity for Easterby to kind of get entrenched there. I don't know. I don't know that that's a great thing. I said this today, and I think solving this stuff, I think, is a fairly easy fix. And I think one of the big things is you've got to find some sort of – you got to concoct some sort of mutually agreeable scenario. You know, if you don't want to fire Easterby, then come up with something where there's a mutual parting of the ways. I just think – I think it's that important behind the scenes. And then the Deshaun communication, whether Easterby's in the building or not, I want Deshaun sitting down with Nick Caserio right now. I don't need Deshaun sitting and spending extended period of time with Cal or with Easterby. You sit down with Caserio, because to me, Caserio is the one guy who's got the personality of those guys over there, a former quarterback who's all about football, who's going to be able to bring Deshaun back into the fold much easier than those guys. Well, and he's much more important to Deshaun moving forward anyways, and he's going to have input, Deshaun and Caserio, on finding the guy who's going to be the most important for Deshaun, which is the next head coach. And that's the guy we really want him to spend time with.
Landry Locker, Sean Pendergast here on the Search Special, Sports Radio 610. The one big decision Caserio is going to have to make that could win over Deshaun Watson is who the next head coach is going to be of the Houston Texans. How much of a chance does Eric Bieniemy have to be that guy? We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Search Special.
Eric Bieniemy, it's the most popular name. It has the internet going nuts. Texans requested to interview Eric Bieniemy. They'll have to wait a few weeks. Also requested to interview Brandon Staley. I'm intrigued by Brandon Staley. Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Very popular name. But he could be shut out with getting a head coaching job just because you're looking at all these openings, including the Texans, and it seems like these are filling up, and I'm not sure that Eric Bieniemy is going to end up being a head coach this year.
Yeah, which is wild to think, right? Like, he's the first one who got requests from all the teams. Once the Texans put in a request for him, I think that completed his dance card for getting requests from everybody. Now, there had been rumblings with Eric Bieniemy that he might not want to be the head coach of the Texans. So we'll see. I don't even know that he's officially accepted the offer of an interview. By the time the Texans requested, he was already in that window where they would have to be knocked out of the playoffs for them to even conduct an interview with Eric Bieniemy. And that leads to questions about just how much of them requesting it was the optics of trying to, you know, show Deshaun that they were going after a guy that Deshaun liked, and how much of it was sincere interest. But that's an interesting thing that you bring up, Landry, because Eric Bieniemy, I think if you had asked all the experts and the insiders around the NFL, who's the favorite, like who's at the top of the big board for coaching candidates this offseason, Eric Bieniemy's name would have been at the top. And by the way, he's number two on the odds board. You can bet on this stuff for the Texans head coaching job. Jim Caldwell is number one. I guess they're just following the news cycle on that. But you bring up a great point, because there's six openings left, right? With Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville, for those just getting into your cars, that's official. Urban Meyer, they both Shad Khan and Urban Meyer have commented on it. He's going to be the next head coach of the Jags. So now still open are the Jets, the Chargers, the Texans, the Lions, the Falcons, and the Eagles. Those are the six jobs that are open. And if I look at the big names on the board right now, I think Robert Saleh is for sure getting a job, right? Would you agree?
Yeah, just had his second interview with the Jets. The Eagles have requested permission as well. Saleh's getting a gig.
He's getting a gig. I think Arthur Smith is getting a job.
All signs point to Atlanta right now for Arthur Smith.
Yeah. I think Joe Brady is getting a job. Would you agree?
Just interviewed with the Eagles, maybe.
Interviewed with the Texans as well.
Interviewed with the Texans as well. I think Joe Brady's a maybe.
Okay. Brian Daboll.
I think he's going to the Chargers, although the Chargers are looking around. He went to high school with their GM, also has success working with a quarterback, so it seemed like that would make sense. He's a proven guy that's worked with a quarterback, so it seems like Daboll would make sense with the Chargers.
That's four right there. Let's throw Brandon Staley's name in the mix, too. He just came up as a prospect for the Texans today. The Texans have requested permission to talk to Brandon Staley, the D.C., with the Rams, who's viewed as sort of a defensive version of Sean McVay, young up-and-comer, and it would make sense that he got hired by Sean McVay. Sean McVay saw a lot of himself in Brandon Staley. I'll tell you what, if you're a Texan fan rooting for Brandon Staley, from what you know about him, and people probably learned a lot listening to you guys talk about him today, you guys went deep on him today, you should root for Brian Daboll to get the L.A. job. And here's why I say that, the L.A. Charger job. Because Staley, I believe, is interviewing for that job as well. That would seem to me, if I'm Staley, to be the most attractive one, more attractive than the Texans, because you don't have to move your family. He's got three young kids. He's already in L.A. Hell, he'd play in the same stadium that he's coaching in right now. You've got a young quarterback on a rookie deal, and you've got pieces defensively, unlike the Texans.
Their GM's also in that John Carroll pipeline.
Yes, Telesco.
They've had Telesco went to John Carroll. Staley coached there, and Nick Caserio went to John Carroll as well. So it's kind of the John Carroll connection as well.
So that's five hot names, and Bieniemy is a hot name, no doubt about it. One of the main reasons that we're bringing up could he be shut out is I saw Matt Miller, who's more of a draft guy than a national NFL writer, but he talks to a lot of people around the league because of his draft stuff, and he was hearing buzz that they think the Bieniemy might get shut out this go-around. I think he is still one of the five or six hottest names for sure, probably one of the two or three hottest names.
There's a push there. There's a push there.
What's that?
On Bieniemy. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of hype. It's interesting because I think it's Aaron Wilson. Some of the media types are asking Deshaun about him randomly in the middle of press conferences, and then all of a sudden there's a headline, Deshaun said this about Eric Bieniemy.
Sure.
But the question was asked of him, and it's random. And there's also an assumption that Deshaun Watson wants Eric Bieniemy to be the coach.
Yeah.
I'm not as high on Bieniemy as everybody else. I'll be honest with you. I'm not as high on Bieniemy as a lot of people. I look at him as almost an offensive Matt Patricia, in that Matt Patricia was the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. By the way, I think he did it for like 6 years. He was there for, 10 to 12 years, and he was studying or running a defense, and I'm not saying he wasn't contributing, but Matt Patricia was contributing to a defense that was overseen and basically called by one of the best defensive minds of all time. Just like Eric Bieniemy is in Kansas City with Andy Reid, and he's been the offensive coordinator for a few years with Patrick Mahomes. I look at Eric Bieniemy as kind of a Matt Patricia type, and I'm not saying that Bieniemy can't go be a good NFL head coach. I'm not saying he doesn't have a lot of the it qualities that you like in a head coach, but I just wonder if Eric Bieniemy, once he leaves Kansas City, is going to be able to oversee an entire franchise and an entire offense, or he's going to struggle like Matt Patricia did in Detroit. I think that is a fair thing to bring up when it comes to Eric Bieniemy. Yeah. And if you're wondering, like, how he's going to work with Deshaun Watson, I think there's even more concern there, because while Eric Bieniemy is involved in the meetings and he's helping with Patrick Mahomes, there's also a quarterback coach there that is very high thought of, that is also in on these meetings too.
Kafka.
Right? Yeah. So he's going to come here, and he's not going to have Kafka. He's not going to have Andy Reid, and he's going to be overseeing an offense. I think the questions about Eric Bieniemy, I think, are very valid, and you really only have a 2-year sample size of Eric Bieniemy overseeing an offense, and that was in 2011, 2012 in Colorado, and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
It actually dropped 25 spots from 2010 to 2011, when he took over, and it actually got even worse, 11 more spots the next year. So I think the questions about Eric Bieniemy are valid, and I think that's what people are thinking when they don't hire Bieniemy.
Yeah, I think they're valid, and I don't know much about Eric Bieniemy, how he's viewed from a leadership standpoint, although the Chiefs that do speak about him speak very glowingly as to what kind of guy he is, and I think that's where, to me, that's where the fork in the road goes with the comparison to Patricia. I think all your job description comparisons between the two are really appropriate and good. I think the sense I get with Bieniemy is that there's much less of a chance that his troops would kill him in battle than there is with Matt Patricia, whose troops I feel would definitely kill him in battle. And I feel like the Detroit Lions, once he was the head coach there, absolutely would have killed him in battle. They didn't like him there. We had Glover Quinn on the other day on our show, and he was very, very clear about how the guys felt about Patricia. I don't get the sense with Bieniemy that there would be any of that. And leadership is a big component of what the Texans are looking at with all this. But back to what we were talking about. So I think it's safe to say, I don't know that, I think Bieniemy still has enough buzz to feel like, well, he's going to get one of these six jobs. But we know that it's not going to go exactly as planned with at least a couple of these, right, Landry? Like, it's not as easy to say just, yeah, the six jobs are going to be filled by Bieniemy, Arthur Smith, Robert Saleh, Joe Brady, Brian Daboll, and Brandon Staley. The six hottest names. It never goes that way. Jim Caldwell's a candidate for the Texans. Todd Bowles has interviewed with a couple of these teams. Marvin Lewis has interviewed with a couple of these teams. At least two of those six jobs are going to wind up going to candidates that if you had said at the beginning of the job cycle that these coaches are going to land head coaching jobs, you would have said, you're crazy. But they're picking up steam now, guys like that.
It's a long process. And yeah. I don't know. I would be shocked if Eric Bieniemy didn't want to be the coach of the Texans.
I didn't even mention Eberflus.
Eberflus is a guy that's kind of – I think he could be back in Indianapolis. I think the numbers game has just caught up to Eberflus.
Right.
And I think the Colts are still going to have their defensive coordinator, it looks like. I think Eberflus could be in pretty good shape right now. Or the Colts could be – I should say, with Eberflus.
That's an interesting way to look at it. You know, when we look at this job cycle, you mention these names, and when you mention one of them, you go, oh, yeah, that guy's going to be a head coach. And then you have a conversation about him. And then you have this conversation, and you drop a name, and you go, oh, yeah, Brian Daboll, he's going to be a head coach next year. There's only so many openings. There's six left, and you've got Bieniemy, Arthur Smith, Robert Saleh, Joe Brady, Brian Daboll, Brandon Staley, and Matt Eberflus, who I would say are seven names at the beginning of the job cycle where you felt like it's not if they get a job, it's where they get a job. One of those seven guys is not going to get it unless somebody fires somebody that we're not expecting. And unless all these jobs go to guys who are considered favorites to get the job, as opposed to the Marvin Lewis, Jim Caldwell, Raheem Morris, Todd Bowles of the world. And then you got guys like Gerard Mayo and Aaron Glenn, who are position coaches where they are right now, who are viewed as rising stars that some team may just take a chance on because they feel that they're getting in low on a stock that could be a boom stock.
Yeah, and there could be, if you just look at the postseason, there could be someone emerge all of a sudden as like a candidate. Like, let's say
that's
that
the really
Ravens,
good point.
If the Ravens get hot, let's say the Ravens get hot and the Ravens upset the Bills, then they beat the Chiefs, and then they win a Super Bowl. You're telling me Greg Roman's not going to get interviews?
Or Wink Martindale.
Or Wink Martindale or somebody. Like, yeah. Those guys can emerge out of nowhere as well. It's also about the timeline. I don't know when the Texans are going to look to hire a coach. I know that they're going to interview Staley after the game against the Green Bay Packers, and if that season's over, they could hire Staley next week. They could hire Staley as early as next Friday, and then you would have, you know, the concern or the I don't know if it would be outrage, but it would be mentioned, well, what about interviewing Eric Bieniemy? What happened with that?
Yeah.
So if you think Staley's the guy, you just got to go with it, and you just got to get the job done and go ahead and bring that guy in.
The only outrage I care about is Deshaun Watson. I should say potential. I don't know that Deshaun has the capability of getting outraged about anything. I don't know if he's wired that way. But the only, literally, Landry, I've gone from my criteria for the head coach at the beginning of this whole job cycle, you know, being things like either having a great offensive mind or access to great offensive minds, having great leadership skills, having a really good idea of how they're going to assemble their staff. Those have been my criteria. And given how everything's gone in the last 10 days with how they arrived at Nick Caserio, and to be clear, I like Nick Caserio. How they arrived at Nick Caserio, I've got some issues with. But when you add how they arrived at Nick Caserio with all the smoke about Deshaun Watson, my criteria for this whole thing has completely shifted to two things. No Patriot retreads, and does Deshaun Watson like the guy? That's it. Those are the main things I care about.
And those are really the only things that really do matter.
That's right.
Speaking of the coaching staff, Urban Meyer hired in Jacksonville. There's reports, NFL.com, that he is entertaining the possibility of bringing Anthony Weaver along with him.
Yeah.
Anthony Weaver, who the Texans had one of the worst defenses in the last 15 years in the NFL, Anthony Weaver could go with Urban Meyer. Their connection is Weaver was a grad assistant for Urban Meyer at Florida.
Yeah, well, and I mentioned that possibility earlier this week because it goes back to Notre Dame, actually, with Weaver. Weaver was a player at Notre Dame when Urban was on Bob Davies' staff there in the late 90s. So their history goes back to the late 90s. They've known each other for over 20 years now. So it runs deep. And, yeah, as you mentioned, that was Weaver's first job ever in coaching. Was with Urban. I know there's great respect, mutual respect between those two. They have not said, or have they, that if they hired him, it would be for the DC.
They did not say.
Line.
They didn't specify. Yeah. They just said that he would consider bringing him on board his staff.
Be a great hire as a defensive line coach for them. You know, especially considering I'm guessing they're going to use at least one of those high picks on a young defensive lineman. They've got some pretty good edge rushers and some pretty good young bodies on that defense. Did I say offensive line? I meant defensive line. So there's going to be some nice clay for Anthony Weaver to potentially mold.
There's a lot of connections now in the AFC South. You know, on In the Loop, 10 to 2 right here on Sports Radio 610, we like to localize.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer was basically Mike Vrabel's coaching mentor, gave him his first, you know, real coaching job at Ohio State. He credits him with developing and being a coach, credited O'Brien with the opportunity. Meyer also recruited Deshaun Watson, said that he was the one that got away when he was on the Dan Patrick show.
Right.
There's just all kinds of juice. Say what you want about Urban Meyer, and we can sit here and we can argue for days with listeners and everything about how good you think he is or isn't going to be. There is juice in this division now. There is juice with Urban Meyer. There's going to be juice with Trevor Lawrence. There is a lot more intrigue and a lot more sauce than there was before.
Let me ask you this, because I think you can judge a hire by how your opponents feel. What's their nervousness level of that hire? I will say this. I'm nervous about Jacksonville hiring Urban Meyer. I wanted him here. By definition, that makes me nervous. What's the potential hire on the radar that you think the other three AFC South cities would go, oh, crap, the Texans got that guy? Like, Jim Caldwell does not – like, if I think the other three – and I think Jim Caldwell might be a decent hire for the Texans.
I like Caldwell.
I do, too. But I think the other three AFC South teams would look at the Texans and go, retread, not really concerned about it. Indianapolis knows him better than those other places, you know, so they may think differently about it. Is there one on the radar right now, potentially, where if you were in one of the other three cities, you go, oh, crap, Deshaun's got that guy or the Texans got that guy?
I don't think there's going to be a home run hire, per se. I think Urban Meyer was the home run hire. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Brandon Staley would be the best one for Deshaun Watson. And don't sleep on this. Don't sleep on this. Don't think that a guy like Brandon Staley, who's a defensive guy, might not get the job, and then Jim Caldwell comes here in like the Romeo Crennel role where Jim Caldwell's overseeing the offense, because it might be the only option he has. And if Jim Caldwell wants to get back in the NFL, why not latch on to Deshaun Watson,
yeah,
help a first-time head coach in the NFL learn the ways, and you're not stuck in the Stone Age like Romeo Crennel. Don't sleep on Staley and Jim Caldwell, or, you know, somebody else with Jim Caldwell, because it's not like there are other teams that are entertaining the possibility of interviewing Jim Caldwell, although he has gotten other interviews. I think there's a possibility that you get your Brandon Staley, you get your boy Wonder, and then you add the OG and Jim Caldwell to the mix, and you have those two guys. That would excite me. I don't know if it would scare people, but that would excite me.
No, I think it would make a lot of sense, and you'd have a lot of capable guys in the room there. Do you trust Jim Caldwell to modernize his offense to get the most out of Deshaun Watson? I mean, the guy's been coaching Matt Stafford and Joe Flacco and Peyton Manning through his time in the NFL here.
That's another question there. I think he would. It seems like Jim Caldwell would adapt,
yeah,
but I
who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't really know, even if he does come here. I didn't really know what Romeo Crennel did before this year. So maybe you have an offensive coordinator, maybe Jim Caldwell's just kind of that associate head coach,
yep,
type. It'll be very, very interesting, Sean. This is a fun time to be in Houston.
Always enjoy doing radio with you, Landry. This is good stuff.
A lot of people like to pick your brain right now about what's going on in Houston.
Yeah.
It is a fun time.
It's exciting
to be doing what we're doing. The search continues tomorrow. We're going to keep it going as well at 6 o'clock. Get your morning started at 6 a.m. with Payne and Pendergast, followed by In the Loop with myself and John Lopez, and then Clinton Show will hold you down till 6 p.m. For Sean Pendergast, for Rob, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another Search special on Sports Radio 610. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. on Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.